If you have a Bible, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. You know, I was coming in to listen to, and Pastor Lily was sharing the word, sharing a testimony about this lady that went through the mirror and blessed herself. It was a confirmation of the sermon that God wants me to share. And honestly, I have another sermon, but then God told me to share this sermon. So it was two confirmation, and I pray that it will really be a blessing to you. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. I'm going to title my sharing this morning, When Glory Falls. When Glory Falls. And after that, Aaron raised his hands towards the people and blessed them. So powerful. Pastor Lee said that she wants to bless the people with the goodness of God during the worship. After that, Aaron raised his hand toward the people and blessed them. And then after presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar, which is actually the brazen altar. I'll explain to you later. Then Moses and Aaron went back into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again. Again. Know the word again. And the glory, what happened? And the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fats on the altar. When the people saw this, they were shocked and they were surprised. They were amazed at the power of God, the glory of God. They shouted with joy and fell down on the ground. Father, anoint this message right now, in Jesus' name I pray. You know, the glory of God is one of the most profound themes in the Bible. It is very mysterious. It is very powerful. It is very central to understanding God's character and God's presence. The glory of God is a frequent occurrence at the tabernacle. The glory of God is a frequent occurrence at the tabernacle among the children of Israel in the wilderness. If you study the Bible properly, the tabernacle is God stays among Israel during the wilderness. The tabernacle is a place where God dwells among the people. And I pray that it will be likewise for our church. It was tangible. The glory of God was tangible. The glory of God can be felt. The glory of God can be enjoyed by God's people. Exodus 40:34 say, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. There should be a cloud that covered eventual tabernacle. The glory of God should fill eventual tabernacle. You can cry. You can cry today because the church no more has such tangible, felt presence reflecting the glory of God in many churches. And today, you will learn the reason why. The Hebrew word for glory, is kavod, which means the weight, the heaviness, the honor of God, the majesty of God. That is the glory of God, the majesty of God. The Greek word for glory is doxa, which means splendor. The splendor of God. When you say the glory of God is the splendor of God, it is the radiance of God. The radiance of God. It is the reputation, the excellence of God. God's glory is His visible majesty, moral beauty, and infinite worth revealed in personal encounter. In your personal encounter, you will see God's majesty, God's beauty, God's infinite worth in our life. God's glory is His manifest presence, as seen in the cloud, the fire, and the light in children of Israel during the wilderness, that He is dwelling among His people. No, it was said that they were powerful children's experiences of the glory, or the glory cloud, during the Azusa Street Revival of 1906, which marks one of the most remarkable moves of God in church history. One such testimony is this, and she is a small girl. She said this: we used to play hide and seek in the glory cloud. She was in church, in the mission church. It was so thick inside the mission that you could not see all the way across the room. I pray that we will witness this in our church. It is because of glory. See, you need the glory of God that we can be transformed. It's because of the glory of God. Why we need the glory of God is because of the glory of God that we can be transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, we have been transformed into the same image from one glory, from one degree of glory to another. To another. I personally believe the more you experience the glory of God, the more the glory of God will be manifested on your face, the more you will show forth the glory of God as it was shown on the face of Moses. Likewise, it is because without this glory that we are not transformed. It's without this glory that we are not transformed. Let us learn how the glory falls in the Bible. Number one, the brazen altar. Okay, you see the brazen altar, you see the tent of tabernacles. Okay? And this portion of scripture I just read to you, it was the first duty of Aaron the high priest. He completed his first duty, official sacrifices as high priest. That means it was his first time. The tabernacle was just recently built that we saw. Recently built. And all the items, all the things, all the utensils were completed and put in position. Okay? All the thing that was put into the position correctly. And if you study the tabernacle properly, it was a cross. All the utensil was put there properly, as directed by God. There must be obedience in life for God's direction in our life. They obey. And because of obedience in instruction concerning the tabernacle and the brazen altar, the glory of God fall. You just imagine, he has done all the things that he's supposed to do. The equipment are all done properly. He burned the first burnt offering, and the glory fell. In Leviticus chapter 9:22, Aaron began his first duty as high priest. We thank God that we have finished building this tabernacle, eventual tabernacle. We can learn from this portion of scripture. The brazen altar, you saw the brazen altar, it played a very important role, a very important part in the sacrifices. The brazen altar is also known as the altar of burnt offering. The altar of burnt offering. Okay, you saw the fire at the brazen altar. It was known. Do you know that the fire has to be burned continually? I'll explain to you later. The brazen altar is also a central feature. It's so important. Okay, before you enter into the tabernacle, there was the brazen altar. You need the brazen altar before you enter into the tabernacle. And the brazen altar was very big, very big. 2.3 meters long, 2.3 meters width, and 1.4 meters high. Okay, it was made of acacia wood, overlaid with bronze. It has four horns. You see the four horns? You see the brazen altar? It has four horns on the four corners of the brazen altar. They were rings. There was part of the brazen altar, and two poles, specially designed poles, were used to slot into the ring and carry the brazen altar when the cloud of God moved. Israelite will grab hold of the four horns, like Joab did. Grab hold of the four horns. A cry for mercy. You must understand the brazen altar. A cry for mercy. Because of our life. A cry for mercy. A cry for protection. A desperate plea that we will be spared from any judgment when we sin against God. When we come to the altar, we must ask for mercy. We plead to be spared from judgment. We must understand the function of the brazen altar. You want the glory of God to fall? Understand the function of the brazen altar that allows God to fall. The brazen altar was a place of atonement for sins. You need to be cleansed of the sins of your life. It was big. Because Aaron had to step down from the brazen altar after the sacrifices. Can we have another picture? Hello? No, the other picture. Ah, okay. You saw Aaron. Just say he's Aaron, okay? He has to go up the steps. He has to go up the steps to do the burnt offering and also to clear the ashes, which I explain later. So, Aaron had to step down from the brazen altar after the sacrifices. This was found in verse 22. Step down or came down refer to a physical stepping down from the altar. This refers to the conclusion of the priestly duties. Sin is forgiven. Worship is accepted. Fellowship is restored. This is our life. Sin is forgiven. Worship is accepted. Fellowship is restored with God. Do you want the glory of God to fall? Sin is forgiven. Worship is accepted. Fellowship with God is restored. You want God's glory to come? There were additional instruction concerning the brazen altar. Okay, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 to 9 says, and then the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instruction regarding the burnt offering. There must be obedience to instruction. The burnt offering must be left on the top. Can I see the picture? The burnt offering must be left on the top of the brazen altar. Okay? Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, and I say, give Aaron and his son the following instruction regarding the burnt offering. There must be obedience. You know, I was watching this YouTube. The burnt offering must be left on the top of the altar until the next morning. The burnt offering, you see the fire was burning. The burnt offering must be left on top of the brazen altar until the next morning. You know, I was watching this survivalist in a YouTube. Okay, he was camping in a forest and it was snowing. And he was saying that in the night it will go until minus Celsius, degrees Celsius. That was covered with snow. The temperature will drop even worse in the evening, in the night. And you can, he said, if you are not careful, you do not have a proper clothing, you do not have proper things, you do not follow an instruction carefully, you will freeze to death. You know what he did? This fellow will chop the woods to make a small hut for himself. And he will hide himself inside the small hut from the extreme weather, cold weather. Okay? But this is not enough. This is not enough. Just say this is a hut. This is a hut. Outside the hut, he would choose special woods. I think it's oaks. It is maple oaks, maple trees from the forest, and build a fire. And the wood will burn continuously in the night. And it will be a big fire, and you only come out to refill the wood once in the evening. I believe that is the case for the burnt offering. The burnt offering was to burn continuously overnight. The altar fire must never go out. The altar fire must never go out. It's a symbol of ongoing devotion and God's continual presence. There must be ongoing devotion between you and God. Then you have God's presence. When there is ongoing devotion, the power of God is there, the presence of God is there, the majesty of God is back in your life. He so ensured that nothing of the offering was left. When you put the offering onto the thing, let's look at the thing. Look at the picture. When you put the burnt offering on top of the thing, it will burn until the next day, morning. That means nothing is left. Nothing, just say it's a bull. Nothing of the bull is left. It is a reminder of us giving ourselves totally to God. God desires wholehearted, continual devotion from His people. And the interesting thing is that Aaron had to clear the ashes every morning. He has to go up the steps. And you saw the picture. He has to clear the ashes every morning. The spiritual significance is that he went to clear the ashes every morning. We, believers today, have a duty to keep fire, spiritual fire, alive in our heart. You know, when you clear the ashes, the charcoals will burn more, right? Am I correct? You have to keep fire burning in our life and the Christian community. The clearing of the ashes by Aaron and his sons on the brazen altar holds deep spiritual and symbolic significance. The ashes are the remains of past sacrifices. I repeat, the ashes are the remains of past sacrifices. Removing the past sacrifices' ashes ensured the altar was always ready for new offering. You cannot leave off past devotion. You cannot leave off past obedience. You cannot say, God, I accepted you 20 years. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, I was telling you there was two incidents. I already got the format of this sermon. Then I was having my devotion. Then I came across this verse that struck me. It says in Leviticus chapter 9 verse 6, this is what the Lord had commanded you to do, so that the glory of God may appear to you. You must see the function of the brazen altar so that the glory of God may appear to you. God's glory would appear because of obedience, ongoing attention to sin, instruction given by the word concerning character, lifestyle, and daily worship, daily renewal, fresh surrender, devotion. You ask Pastor, I don't understand what you're trying to say about the brazen altar. It symbolized a rhythmic cultivation of repentance, devotions, and obedience in life. When you do that, the glory of God will fall. The glory of God will fall. Number two, the priestly role. I like Pastor Lily sharing. You go to the mirror and you bless. But you start to bless yourself first. And then Pastor Lily said that she's a priest. I want to bless the people of this congregation. I want to bless you with the goodness of God. Just now she said, the priestly role. You know what Aaron did? It's very interesting. He completed his first official duties and sacrifices, and he blessed the people. You know, we curse people. We hold grudges against people. But he blessed the people. Like using the priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6 verse 24-22. You know what he did? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Then the glory fall. Then the glory fall. Then the glory fall. The glory came to authenticate the blessing. That moment reflects God's acceptance of the sacrifices. And Aaron acting as a mediator between God and people. The Bible says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. They went into the tent of meeting. Okay, they did the thing, then they went into the tent of meeting. Then they came out again. And they blessed the people and they do the burnt offering. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. They likely went in to intercede. To intercede. And receive instruction from God. The pastor must never stop beseeching God for the glory of God upon people in the church. When they perform their duties as pastor, they must never stop. And when they come out of their devotion, when they come out of the church, or their time with God, they have to bless the people again. Again, the word again. Then something extraordinary happened. What happened? The glory of God appeared. This was a visible manifestation of God's presence, like a bright light, a fire, as in Exodus chapter 40, verse 30 and 35, chapter 40. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Aaron was a high priest, but today through Jesus Christ, we are the royal priesthood. You are the royal priesthood. You are to bless. You are to go to the church. You are to go to your devotion. And you are to come out. And you are to bless your people. You are to bless yourself. You are to bless. You receive instruction and you come up and you bless and you give instruction. We are called to offer spiritual sacrifices, praise, worship, obedience. It's included. Included is also the financial sacrifices. Okay? There must be a bull. There is a bull that is paid and given. Without the financial sacrifice, without the bull, there is no burnt offering. You want to serve God? There must be financial sacrifices. Today, unlike Moses and Aaron, we do not go into the tent of meeting. We do not go to the church. We miss church sporadically. We do not bless ourselves. Therefore, we do not bless our family members. We do not bless our colleague. We do not bless our friend. We do not bless our stranger. We do not receive instruction from God. We do not have a proper devotion with God. And we wonder why things go wrong. Why are things wrong in our life? Why are our family not blessed? Why are we not kept? Why are we not protected? Why is no protection in our life? Why there's no peace at all in our personal life? Why there's no peace in our family lives? Why there's no peace in our working lives? Aaron went to the tent of meeting and came out to bless the people. Then the glory fall. Then the glory fall. Bless yourself. Bless people around you. Bless your family. The word again signifies a continual process. Going in and coming out. I ask you today, do you have access to God's presence? Does your relationship with God involve intercession? Worship, do you act as a mediator between God and your family, your working place, your stranger? You must go before God on behalf of all these people. When you perform your function in a priestly way, an ongoing relationship with God and coming out, blessing, seeing signs and wonders and miracles upon people, then the glory of God will fall. What are the example of your priestly role? What are the example of your priestly role? How do you apply it to our personal life? Okay, first one, Pastor Lee said, bless yourself. Okay, I like what you say, bless yourself. Maybe you should go to the mirror and bless yourself. Maybe you are really sick, you bless yourself first. What the example? For pastors and church leaders, you want to teach God's word, lead in prayer, provide spiritual counsel, and shepherd the congregation. That is blessing the people. Provide spiritual counsel and shepherd the congregation. Cell group leaders. Leaders in every function that you are in. YC. T-zone. You are to lead in prayer, teach God's word, provide spiritual counsel and shepherd the congregation. Shepherd the people that are under you. No, I respect Pastor Lily. When I see her continually, without fail, provide spiritual counsel to members in her office, I will see these people come out in tears and touched by God. It includes interceding for people. This is the area that God convicted me. Interceding for people, instead of complaining, instead of worrying over the spiritual condition of people, I must be like Paul, praying earnestly for the church in Corinthians, praying earnestly for the church in Rome, praying earnestly for the members in Philippian church. I must be like Peter. I must be like Jesus that said to Peter, Peter, the devil has targeted you. You know what the Bible says in the gospel? Jesus said this, Satan has demanded to have you, Peter. Satan has demanded to have the people of this church. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. And Jesus said to him, Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Same thing with us. For your children. For your congregation. For yourself, people. You pray, you intercede, that their faith will not fail. That is for pastors and leaders. For Christian parents, it is to teach your children about God. Pastor Lee showed a video. You are beautiful. You're great. It's to teach the children about God. To pray with them and to model righteousness. You know, Pastor Lee is always concerned about Elise's spiritual condition. Elise is still under 3 years old. Recently, she bought a book, the picture book, very big book. And Joy saw the book, and Joy will open the picture Bible, and Elise will watch. And Joy will tell the story of David in the Bible, the story of Samson, etc., etc. And Joy will tell the story. One day, Elise was in church. Elise is not yet 3 years old. She was playing, people were listening, the congregation was listening. Elise was playing. Then suddenly, she heard the pastor talk about David. She stopped everything. And then she just walked to the mummy and sit on the lap of her mummy to see what the pastor has to say about David. Yeah. About David. It's never too early. It's never too early. No. It's never too early for all of us. Pastor Lily is more concerned about their spirituality than I. It's never too early. How about Christian in the marketplace? Instead of intense competition, you have to represent Christ through integrity and compassion. Share the word of God, offering godly wisdom and encouragement, and praying for co-workers when there's opportunity. When there's opportunity, Jen will always bring her friend to church. No, when you are in work, I'm not saying every day, but you are. I remember I was working in Singapore. Then this lady was crying and crying because she was sacked from the Singapore Airlines. And I just shared. I said, "You'll be okay. You'll be okay." I mean, God. That means you provide counsel. You help and you bless these people. And after I prayed, I prayed for her. I told her that I'm a pastor. She was very shocked, but she felt calmed down. And as SIA today took off again, it is to represent Christ through compassion, through integrity, through offering godly wisdom, offering advice, encouragement, and praying for co-workers. This is the second ingredient, the priestly role. This is the second ingredient that will cause God's glory to fall. When you have performed your priestly role, God's glory will fall. Number 3. Heavenly fire confirms God's glory. There must be some visible manifestation of heavenly fire that will authenticate or confirm God's glory. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24. After they have done all this, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community, fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fats on the altar. Heavenly fire confirmed God's glory. This was not a man-made fire, okay? This was not an ordinary fire. This was not started by some people. It came down from heaven, from God. It was a supernatural fire. It was an incident similar to the time of Elijah during the encounter at Mount Carmel, where the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifices of Elijah. Because during that time, there was great apostasy. The people were having idols in their life. There was great sins in the whole country. And Elijah repaired the altar. He repaired the altar. Some of us, you got to repair the altar of your life that has been thrown down. The broken altar symbolized broken covenant with God. Rebuilding the altar signifies returning to God. Restoring faith. And rejecting idolatry. The 12 stones represent the whole community of Israel, because there are 12 tribes. Represent the whole congregation. Then the fire fell. Then the fire fell. God Himself ignited the fire. He need to ignite the fire to confirm His glory. What happened when the fire falls? God confirmed His presence. It was a clear sign of divine approval. It meant that God was present and pleased. How do I know that God is with us? When you have God's glory in the church. When you have God's presence in the church. God accepts our offering. Amen that God accept you. Amen that God accepted you. God confirms our priesthood. God confirms our role. God confirms our function. Fire fell because Elijah rebuilt the altar and prayed. And God confirmed the prophet Elijah. You cannot demand fire on your own term. Obedience prepares the altar for the fire. God transformed our hearts. The fire burned up sins. You know why you need the glory of God? You will burn up the sins of your life. You will turn your people back to God. The people will respond, they will see and they will be amazed and they will be in awe. And they will be shouting, there will be joy, there will be reverence, there will be humility, there will be respect towards God. This story was repeated in Mount Carmel. The people shouted, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. Our response will be deep, reverent worship. Falling on your faces was a posture of worship and humility towards God. I ask you today, in your life, where is the fire today? Where is the fire today? Are you satisfied with what you're having, or you're just having routine religion? You know what is routine religion? You go to church and nothing happened. No manifest presence of God. No change of heart. No change of life. No change whatsoever. Nothing happens. Religious practice becomes habitual and mechanical, often lacking heartfelt engagement and personal conviction, personal encounter, and spiritual depth. You go through the motion. You go through the motion. You attend services. You say prayer. You observe the ritual, the habit, the obligation, the tradition. Look at the whole country of Philippines. It is said that they are 90 to 91% according to the 2020 Philippine census. They are 90 to 91% Christian. That includes the born again Christian. You look at them every Sunday. The majority goes to church. I will pass by Haro Cathedral. I will see a huge crowd lining up and the church will become full and they will be standing outside. They will attend service. They will say prayer. They observe ritual out of habit, traditions and obligation. Rather than out of a genuine faith or relationship with God, worship is not to be routine. Worship is about encountering God in our life. You know, when I got saved in 1979, I loved to go to church. Because I encountered God. I felt a strong presence of God. I experienced miracles and signs and wonders in my life. My life was completely changed. Completely changed. My whole family saw the change in my life and all got saved 7 years later. My family is not small. There are 10 in my family. Okay, and all got saved. Then how about the in-laws, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, all in all 17 people. And all 17 of them got saved. Every one of them got saved. It is very frightening when Christianity becomes a routine religion. Don't say that Evangel Tabernacle cannot become a church that has a routine religion. Don't say that. You know what is routine religion? Isaiah 29:13 says, these people come to me with their heart and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They are the lukewarm church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:15-16. Routine religion leads to spiritual stagnation, leads to hypocrisy, leads to self-deception. Oh, I am okay, I'm right with God simply because of outward action. And not because of inward faith and love. But when the fire of God falls, real religion comes about. True religion is based on the relationship with God. Involves sincerity, humility, obedience. Now the word of God gave me to some of you. One of you, you're having tremendous trouble in your family. God just tell me. You come to God. You come to God. God is a good God. Have a real relationship with God. And something will happen to you. Don't accept the routine religion in your life. It results in a transformed living, not just religious activity. The only solution is the heavenly fire. There's such a thing, you know, there's such a thing as heavenly fire. As seen in the tongues of fire 2,000 years ago. It is not impossible. Acts 2:3 say this, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. It marks God's arrival into a new personal way to you. The Holy Spirit is given personally and directly to not just prophet, priest and pastor, but to all who believe. When the glory of God appears, people are changed. I believe with all my heart, God still sends fire today. Proof, as I say, proof of heavenly fire was a tongue of fire 2,000 years ago that fell not on the temple, but on people. We are the temple. God's fire dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. Does heavenly fire still exist in our era? Does heavenly fire still exist today? Yes. Yes. They are contemporary examples of heavenly fire, tongues of fire, that confirms the glory of God. It was said that because of the tongues of fire, a preacher in a village with no education at all shared the gospel, and people were moved to repentance and tears even without sophisticated word. Another example was missionaries and believers that speak in unknown tongues in the mission field supernaturally, allowing the gospel to be heard in their own native language. Those are documented testimony of missionaries in Africa and Asia that they say unknown dialect, only to be told by locals that they preach the gospel in the native language perfectly without ever learning it. The next example is worship leaders in our church, musician in our church. For musicians and worship leaders who are filled with the Spirit can lead songs that bring heaven down. People cry, fall on their knees, and the sense of God's presence burning in their hearts. You know, the most recent example was the Osbury Fire of 2023 that happens in Kentucky, United States. It started 2023. It started in February 8, 2023. It's just 2 years ago, after the COVID-19. Just recently, 20 students stayed after chapel to pray and worship, and it turned into continuous prayer for 16 straight days, night and day. And it filled the largest auditorium. Students confessed their sin, reconcile with their loved one, with their families. A young woman was healed of her broken leg. She took up her cast and said, "I'm healed, I'm a healed." Another high school student talk about his hearing. He no more has to have hearing aids. An 11-year-old girl, Helen, traveled 10 hours with her family for the occasion. After 5 hours in the chapel, she said she was healed of celiac disease, eosinophilic esophagitis, following prayer. She was healed of a tremendous illness, a sickness in the body. And she said, "I felt that I met him. I definitely took home and the hunger and the bonus." Lena was a choir member when the worship flowed naturally. Students broke into spontaneous songs, repentance, and sustained prayer. By the time the revival peaked, 15,000 people attend Hodges Auditorium every day. It was not planned. It was not orchestrated. There is such a thing as heavenly fire. Times Magazine, CBN, talks about this. They provided that they say that this revival provided a spiritual solace because of COVID-19. I conclude. Aaron was a high priest who performed his duty to bring the glory of God down. Aaron was a mediator between God and man, but he was imperfect like most of us leaders today. Actually, he missed the promised land. He and Moses did not go to the promised land. It signifies the imperfection of our life, of leaders. But today, we have Jesus, the greater high priest. He's not only our high priest, the greater high priest, but he was the perfect sacrifice at the altar, at the brazen altar. At the cross, when he became the sacrifice, fire did not fall down from heaven, but the veil tore, showing God's presence is now open to all who believes. Because Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. You say, it's impossible. You look at Jesus. It can be possible because of Jesus. Because Jesus became the perfect sacrifice, God responded to his obedient worship with his glory, presence and power. This is shown in the book of Acts. The 12 disciples were not perfect, but the glory fell anyway because of Jesus. Firstly, he offered himself as a sin offering, atonement for our behalf. His death meant the burnt offering was complete, surrender on our behalf. And it pleased God. It pleased God. Secondly, his offering was a peace offering for God, for us to restore our relationship to God. So you can. You just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. We do not have to long for a moment where God show up powerfully, when worship is more than words and routine. God can come powerfully because of God's approval and acceptance of Jesus. We only need to repent. You only need a little bit of strength to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I don't like what I see in me. I don't like what I see in myself. Things look hopeless. I come to you, and because of Jesus, I hide behind Jesus. Let me see your glory to change me. Jesus satisfied God's demand, and his glory is coming. God is saying, I've accepted your sacrifice because of Jesus, and I'm here. You need to come to God. You need to surrender your life. And then suddenly, like the day of Pentecost, fire will come down from heaven, and you will fall on your face. Leviticus is not just an ancient history story. It's the picture of what God wants to do today. A worship that invites his glory. And God wants to do it. Or you want to continue a routine religion? Can. Continue. But if you are honest with yourself and honest with God, whatever you are, come to him just as you are, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for you. Then your spirit be me, come. I come. That's what God wants you to do because of Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand up?